Hi, this is Australian professional wrestler and leader of the Bad Bitch Nation, Kingsley, and I'm here to tell you to check out a Wrestling Gal podcast. It is my favorite podcast, and let's be real, you'd be so stupid to miss out on all the tea spilt with Ella J. And that's the tea. Oh, wait, no, sorry. I meant to say, let's chat.
Guys, welcome to episode 140 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with a female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J. As today, we are here to bring you the second installment of a Wrestling Gal Focus, featuring the one and only Scottish superstar Ashley Vega, as we dive into the career, the impact, and the legend, Mickie James. Now let's chat! Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second edition of A Wrestling Gal Focus. Now, today we are going to talk about an absolute legend in the ring, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, in our opinions, anyway. Today I am joined alongside Ashley Vega to discuss the career, the impact, and the influence, the greatness that is Mickie James. So, firstly, Ashley, how are you doing today?
I'm great. You know, my day's got so much better because we're just discussing the legend herself. I'm great. So I'm excited.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Ashley Vega is a Scottish superstar who is steadily on the rise to taking over the UK scene and then the world. So, Ashley, can you give us a little insight into who your character is in the ring for those who don't know?
Yes, so I would describe myself as like a modern day diva. Mm-hmm. I'm very much influenced by past divas, era of like Mickie, Trish, Candice, all my faves. So I am all of them combined, and that is who Ashley Vega is.
Absolutely. And you can see it. First of all, we got to talk about your gear. The fact that like, you, so for those of you who don't know, Ashley likes to recreate some of the past iconic gears. And she recently did one with Mickie, which Mickie noticed. And then she followed you, correct? Like shortly after that, like how incredible was that?
That was honestly, like, I was so happy. Like, I was, what was it? I came home and I was like, oh my God, it's Halloween. Like, mm-hmm. I've got my bell. I'm just going to dress up as Mickie from when she, like, won the Women's Champion. Yeah. Just because her outfits were so easy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I could just throw on a little skirt. And she noticed that. And I was like, oh my God, I'm finna cry right now. So amazing.
I know. So we're just going to dive right into the career. It's kind of a discussion. Like I said off air, this is not a scripted show. This is just me and Ashley basically gushing over the iconic Mickie James. So buckle up, everybody. You're going to hear a lot. So I guess, first of all, we'll kind of go back and forth. But what was your first introduction or experience watching Mickie James?
If I remember, I was like seven, or must have been like 2006, and I was about six, seven. And the first like women's match that I saw was Trish and Mickie on Raw. Oh. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't know that women done this. Like, this is so cool. Because my brother was a huge fan and I just never knew a woman done it. And then when I was watching like wrestling with him when I was young, I saw Mickie and I was like, oh my God, like, this is so, so cool. And then ever since then, I was so obsessed. And then I got like older and I would always go back and watch all her stuff from like start to finish, like from the feud with Trish, with the feud with Michelle McCool, like everything was just perfect. And I just would always go back and watch them and like do my research and just constantly binge watch all her matches from like a start to finish. It was just, I was just obsessed from the get-go.
See, I discovered her kind of on her tail end of her first WWE run. So I found wrestling like summer of 2009. And then the first women's storyline I ever saw was the whole Piggy James angle, which is not a great first introduction to women's wrestling. But again, I am grateful for it because it introduced me to somebody who I look up to now. And looking back, yes, they brought in some elements that were out like real life stuff with bullying and like body insecurities and stuff. But at the time, I didn't feel like it was done properly or tastefully. Yeah. But it made me resonate with Mickey in that moment because she was that underdog. She was that person who was getting bullied for an issue like that. And I really sympathized and related to that. So I'm also grateful for it in a way because I don't know if I would have been drawn to her if it hadn't been for that storyline necessarily.
Yeah.
So I am always grateful for that. And I mean, despite that storyline, she was the number one on the PWI top 50 women's list in 2009 when that storyline happened. So, I mean, she was doing something right that year. So, you know, she was at the top of the game and she was one of their go-to girls, I think, during the Divas era, besides like Kelly. I think Mickey and Kelly were like their top two girls during the Divas era for a while, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I remember I must have been about 10 or something. It was like when I really started watching wrestling all the time. And Mickey and Kelly and Eve were like the ones that stood out to me, like that kind of period of time. And like, again, like the Mickey and Michelle storyline. I mean, it was like, it was really good and it was really entertaining, but it was also very, like, I just felt really sad. I think some things could have been done differently, but like, overall, like, it was just so good and they did what they had to do so well that made me, like, believe it and just, I was just so drawn in with it as well. It was like, I didn't want to miss any weeks of SmackDown or anything because I was so drawn into the storyline. So it worked for me.
Oh, no, absolutely. Like, you got to see Mickey rise to the top, and at least she had Maria alongside her during that time to kind of combat, like, cool. It was something that I feel like a lot of people could relate to, and at the time, I was 12 years old, so I didn't understand that this was, like, a storyline. I thought it was, like, a real thing, and so I felt like I really, really resonated with that because I related to that so much, so I feel like I've always related to her not only on like a storyline level but a personal level too, as like she's one of my biggest heroes, if not the biggest hero. But learning afterwards so that they kind of entailed some real life stuff going on into that storyline, it kind of makes me cringe a little bit that they would use that. But then again, they've used real life stuff in the ring before with the whole Edge Lita Matt Hardy thing, so I don't put anything past them anymore. But so it's kind of like a give and take. That was my first introduction to Mickey. I'm grateful for it, but am I happy that it happened? I don't know. I feel like it could have gone a lot of ways. But like you said, it was entertaining. It did make the people want to cheer and root for Mickey as she was the underdog. And then she ultimately won the women's title at the Royal Rumble that year in 2010, but then lost it less than a month later. But that's a different conversation. But what are your thoughts on the whole, what do you think though, especially with a storyline like that? You know, they have her fighting off Lay Cool for what, 2-3 months, and then at the Royal Rumble she wins the women's championship in like 30 seconds against Michelle McCool and Layla, and then she loses it less than a month later. Doesn't that seem kind of counterintuitive to you?
Like, she didn't, because I remember watching the Rumble like 2010, and I was just like, it was so short, and then the run was so short. It was just like, okay, is that it? I wanted to obviously see more. So that was kind of gutting. But, like, I mean, I wish it was longer. She deserved longer because the way that the whole storyline went, I thought it should have just been longer, like the whole run in general, especially with the way they treated her. It just would have made more sense to me, but, you know, happens.
Especially too with a storyline like that where a baby face, a huge baby face is fighting off bullies and heels, and she finally has that moment where she overcomes them. There needs to be a huge payoff. Yes, that moment was great, but it was also like a 30-second, I think it was only a 30-second match. Yeah. And then she lost it like 20-something days later. So 3 weeks to 4 weeks later, there's no real payoff because you're just going back to right where you started. And then a few months later, she got released. So I felt like there was no real payoff. Again, there could have been some... there was a lot of backstage stuff happening, so maybe there was some other reason why she lost it 3 to 4 weeks later. But for a storyline like that, I feel like you can't have that moment at the pinnacle where the babyface finally overcomes the bully or the heel and then drops it like 3 to 4 weeks later. Yeah. There's no real payoff or no real closure to that storyline because they just kept continued feuding on SmackDown up until Mickey's departure shortly after Mania that year, you know?
Yeah, no, 100% agree with that. But I suppose we still love her. We still stan. Like, that's nothing. Let's not bring it up.
I know. But bringing it back, you said you kind of watched Mickey since almost the beginning of her WWE career in 2006. And I am guessing that you were really enthralled by her whole Trish and Mickey James storyline. So watching that play out live, do you have any takeaways from watching that play out live or shortly watching it back there afterwards when you were younger?
Yeah, so I was probably too young to understand that at the point. I was really young. I only really understood the wrestling part. But I remember, like, when I was a bit older, I would always go back and watch them. I had loads of DVDs from all the pay-per-views and things like that. So I always went back and watched it. And I just was so obsessed with it because it was just, like... Oh, just watching it from start to finish again, from like her first appearance in WWE, and then the psycho Mickey James, and then it was just, you just didn't want to ever miss anything because it was just so well done and it was so good, and it was just, they both had such really good characters, and I was like, I am actually obsessed with this woman because she's so funny, she's just so pretty, she's just like so entertaining, like how can she be so good in everything? And that was just like, yeah, that's it, I'm obsessed. And I remember their Mania match that recently they did like a watch back on the network, and I was like, oh my god, like this match is so good. And I just, it was like one of my favorite matches. I always go back and watch it just because the storytelling in it was just so well done. Like I just love it.
Yeah, that storyline, especially during a time where women were lucky if they got one segment on the show, that was literally 6 months of storytelling from October to April. So about 6 months of consecutive and consistent storytelling that we didn't really see a lot during that time of the Ruthless Aggression era. Again, like we said, women were lucky if they got one spot on the card, and that was always Mickey and Trish. We saw a little bit of Ashley Massaro in there, a little bit of Victoria, and then Beth Phoenix for a little bit. But you know, especially during that time, that was groundbreaking for them to have such a consistent and intriguing storyline every single week. And during a time where women didn't get a lot of screen time. So they definitely set the bar really high. And it was really refreshing to see, especially during 05, 06, during that Ruthless Aggression era before they turned to the PG era, where they actually got a spotlight and you would consistently see women every week with an enthralling storyline week by week. And they kept upping their game, and you love to see that long-term storytelling, especially sometimes. Yeah, they had sometimes great matches, but there wasn't a lot of storytelling put into the women, especially during at a time like that. So it's just amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Like the whole thing, like no one knew who Mickey was. When she first made that appearance, I believe Trish was wrestling Victoria, and you know, Mickey just came out of nowhere and everyone was like, who is this like woman? No one knew, and like from straight away you were just so enticed and just wanted to keep watching her because she was so good, even though you didn't know who she was. Even right from the start, her debut, like she was just, you were just like, okay, like I need to watch next week's episode to find out who she is. You were just so captivated, and then it went on for so long, and it ended really well. And I just thought the whole thing was done so good by them both, and I just left with, and was obsessed with both of them, and I still am.
Now, just to reiterate again, that storyline was all about, like you said, Mickey came in, nobody really knew who she was on the main roster. She came in as a major turned psycho fan of the legendary Trish Stratus, and we've kind of recently seen some inklings of reinvention of that storyline, but the roles flipped where Mickey is kind of now in the position where Chelsea Green is kind of an obsessed fan with her on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen it, but there's definitely something going on there. So it's kind of like a reinvention, except the roles are reversed where Mickey is now the one on the opposite end, the veteran, and you have a fan, Chelsea Green. So what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm jealous because I feel like a psycho fan as well sometimes, but it's good. It's all good. But yeah, like, it's exciting because I saw the tweets are so funny. Like,
I know.
They're just hilarious. They're both so funny, and it's good that, like, you get to see Mickey being in that position. It's just fun to see the roles reverse, and she's getting a taste of her own medicine for once. Like, it's so funny just to see the tweets, and she knows what it was like, because obviously she was that psycho fan, but now she's got a psycho fan, and it's just so fun, and just I love seeing things like that, the storytelling and things like that, and the stories are just so good. But the tweets make me laugh, but sometimes I feel like secretly like Mickey when she was obsessed with Trish. Like, I feel like that a bit like psycho as well, so I kind of feel where Chelsea's coming from.
I don't blame her either. I don't blame Chelsea.
No, like, I am in love with Mickey. Like, I'd probably die for her, not gonna lie. Like, so obsessed. She just seems like the most loveliest woman, and
she is. Talking from personal experience, like, I guess we'll go along those lines, and she really is. You know, we talk about her character inside the ring, but she's done so much outside of the ring, and that's a big testament and reason why I am such a big fan of hers too. And obviously, like, her in-ring work and character work is what drew me in initially. But later on, as I grew older and kind of more understood the wrestling business and looked outside of what they call kayfabe and to learn the real person behind the character, hearing her story, especially, it was something that I could relate to. And I've told her this before, like, I don't think she realizes the impact that she has on so many people, because for those of you who don't know, Mickey has overcome abuse when she was a child and a lot of insecurities and depression and just a lot of dark stuff that I don't know a lot of people who have the strength to overcome that and turn that into something positive. So when I heard that for the first time in an interview, I was like, wow, you know, I had been a fan for many years, but I was just really taken back, and I'm like, wow, I really, really love this woman. And I thought I couldn't respect her any more than I did in that moment. But hearing her finally having the courage to speak out and want to make a difference, even if it's just for one person, like she said, is amazing. And now she's turned it into something so organic and so inspiring in her work with Child Help, where she is one of the most kind-hearted and giving people that I have ever known and met. And for me, like, that story just solidified my fandom and, like, my respect and love for her too, like, even more.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm the same. Like, the character and how she was dreaming in her wrestling, but then when you find out, you know, who she really is as a person behind all of that, it just makes you, like, fall in love with her even more. It's just, yeah, she's just amazing.
I love her so much.
Me too. It's actually, like, I always go back and watch her matches, even, like, now, like, really old ones, and I take so much away from her. I remember when I started training, and, like, the moves I would do, I would just copy everything she did, even though I couldn't do it right. I was, like, 15. I was like, I'm going to do a whole Mickey James, like, move set right now, and, you know, I kind of grew on from that, but she, like, her wrestling in general just inspired me so much. I was like, I just want to be this woman, like, all the time. She just made me, like, I probably wouldn't even be here without her, because the first match I watched was with her, and that's what drew me in the first place. So she holds a very special place in my heart.
Me too. And it just, again, this wrestling world, yes, there's a lot of characters too, but there's always people behind the gimmicks and the personas. Mm-hmm. And there's so many people with stories that sometimes we don't get to see on screen. Very rarely do they actually encapsulate, like, real life storytelling, like, onto the screen, you know, whether it's in WWE or AEW or any of the major promotions. But honestly, listening to interviews is something that I am so thankful for, because you get to learn people's stories and their insight as a person, as well as, like, in-ring stuff. But, you know, it's really the in, like, real life person aspect that makes me really, really respect people, you know, hearing their stories and stuff like that. And I'm grateful that I have a platform to do that with, like, her and people like yourself as well who are coming up. But that's a whole side thing. But she's incredible. We could be here forever, honestly, Ashley.
I know, like, I just have so much I could just talk about. I could probably write a book, but I'm not going to do that. Don't know how many people will buy it. Probably just me. So just obsessed with her. Constantly, like, watching her. Like, main reason I started wrestling in the first place. And then when you find out, you know, background and who she was as a person, it's just, you just love her so much more. And I swear, when she followed me, like, oh my God, I wanted to cry, like, so much. I was just like, I can't remember when it was. I was in my room with my boyfriend, and I was like, oh, I'm going to tweet Mickey and blah, 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 blah. And I can't even remember what it was I tweeted. I tweeted her anyway, saying how much I loved her. And then she, like, replied. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is not happening. And then I was, like, pure freaking out. And I was like, okay, you don't understand. Like, I'm obsessed with her. Like, I love her more than I love you. Don't take it wrong. And then she followed me back, and I was just like, I can't. Like, this is just unreal. She knows I exist. Mm-hmm. That's enough for me.
And I understand that moment, because I was there a few years ago as well. So I feel like we're on the same wavelength. I have been in your shoes, so I completely get it. I'm like, I would die for her. Don't tell her that, though, guys. Although I've never told her that. Just kidding. But don't tell her that, guys.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we probably are psychos, but
it's okay. She follows us, so.
Exactly. Like, if I know you have, but, like, if I had met her, oh my God, I don't know what I would do. Like, I'd probably just freak out and, like, die inside. That's all, like, an actual dream of mine. Fingers crossed.
I will tell you this, though. Yes, I thought I was going to have that experience, because I knew ahead of time. It wasn't, like, by accident or coincidence that I met her. I had, like, planned out stuff, and, like, I've had a few times where I've cried meeting people. Granted, this was 4 years ago, and I knew I was going to meet her, and I thought for sure I was, which afterwards I did. However, she is one of those people, at least with my experience, where you meet her and you're like, oh my God, am I going to remember what I'm going to say? But she just has a presence about her that is so comforting. And I told you, it feels like you're talking to a really good friend that you've known forever. At least that was my interaction with her connection. Because we'd interacted on Twitter and stuff, just like much like you have with her now. And so it just feels like you're talking to a really good friend that you've known for a long time. After you get over the initial, like, oh my God, she's really soothing and calm and friendly, and, like, makes you feel really, really welcome and loved, honestly. And then afterwards, yes, I did go to the bathroom and cry. But in that moment, I kept my composure, and she, like, it's just, I can't explain it until it happens. I really want it to happen for you. I feel like it will. Granted, travel restrictions, but there's no doubt in my mind whether, I mean, her husband is from Britain. So, I mean, they're probably going to be going over to the UK sometimes, you know, so.
Yeah, I have saw our vessel live. It was at a TNA show, actually. When she was wrestling there, I went in Glasgow They were doing tapings. So I went there and I saw her live and I freaked out. And that was only live. Like, I wasn't even that close to the ring or anything, but I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like, I remember watching her in 2007 on the screen on Raw, first match. And now she's like wrestling right in front of me. Like, now if I meet her, I'm going to die. Like, so I just hope it happens. Hopefully one day.
Now I'm jealous of that because I have never seen her wrestle live. I have seen her twice at live events, but she was managing or valeting. So I've never seen her wrestle live in my 12 years that I've been a fan. I've never, ever seen her wrestle live. And I've only ever seen her because most of the times I've met her have been from outside of wrestling. Only twice I've seen her like in the ring, but she was managing at one time she was managing at a house show. The other, she was just like cutting a promo in the ring with Alexa Bliss. So I've never seen her wrestle live. So I'm jealous at that.
So good. Such a good experience, but it was so long ago. I can't even remember what year it was. I was really, really
it had
young.
To have been between 2010 and 2014, probably.
I feel like it was like 2013, 12, one of those years. I was really young at the time. But yeah, I was actually just obsessed. Her TNA run was really good as well. Mm-hmm. I remember when she debuted there and I was so excited. I was like, I can actually go and see her wrestle live. And because when she left WWE, I was like, oh, okay. That's really, really sad. I'm not going to see her wrestle. But then when she was at TNA, I was like, thank God, because I just loved seeing her wrestle all the time. So I didn't really care what promotion it was at. I just wanted to be able to watch her and to see like the difference and the other people she got to wrestle as well. It was so much fun.
That was a great time. That was, well, her and the funny thing is her and Jeff were like the big two reasons why I got into wrestling. And then they literally left shortly after I started watching WWE. But then I started watching Impact and then they were both on there. I'm like, I've been blessed. So I would watch Impact for them and like AJ Styles and like the Knockouts. But yeah, so like you said, she left WWE, had a great run in TNA/Impact as a 3-time Knockouts champion, did some stuff on the indies. Mm-hmm. Then 2016 rolls around and I remember this day very vividly. It was like October 12th, 13th or 14th. I'm really weird with remembering dates. where she gets announced on Twitter that she is returning to WWE at NXT TakeOver right before NXT TakeOver Toronto. I remember where I was that day and I remember my phone blowing up because people knew I was fans. I'm a big fan of hers, but I was away. So I didn't see it until like an hour later. I was away doing something. And I remember that day she tweeted out because I had her notifications on. She's like, I'm going on a flight, but like thinking about stuff with like ... You're like, oh my God, she has an announcement coming. And then a few hours later, it gets announced that she's returning at NXT TakeOver Toronto against Asuka for the NXT Women's Championship. So tell me, do you remember that day and what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I remember because I was watching a lot more of NXT at that point in time. And I didn't watch that live, but I remember going on Twitter and seeing the video of you know, she did like the video package and she came up on the screen and Asuka was like shocked and I was like, bitch, like don't play with my feelings like that. I was like, oh my God, I just didn't expect it because I there was just like no sign of it. I wasn't even aware of it and I was like, this is insane. Like, I never thought I would see her in like a WWE ring. For like, I just didn't think that it was going to happen, and then it did, and I was like, "This is insane!" And that match was so good as well. Like, oh, amazing.
I just remember getting chills, and I was so sad because Toronto's only like an hour and a half away from me, but I didn't have my passport, so I couldn't attend. So I had to watch it at home. But hearing that music hit, hearing Obsession hit for the first time in six and a half years, girl. Full Yeah, no, so it would be 6.5 years. I felt like, I mean, obviously, I don't think she was going to beat Asuka, but coming back, I was like, is this really happening? You know, like you said, it had been a long time. I never thought she would return, honestly. So hearing that, I just remember feeling chills throughout my whole body, and I was freaking out on my timeline. Yeah,
I was the exact same. I just never, like, thought that it was going to happen. I didn't know who I thought it was going to be, but, like, I had no idea. And I remember seeing that tweet as well that you were talking about, but I just didn't think. I never put two and two together. And then when she came up on the screen on NXT, I was like, oh my gosh, like, this is actually insane. I was just so excited to see her back, like, in a WWE ring for so, like, after so long. Oh man, it was what an experience.
And now she's been back now for about 4.5 years. And also, yeah, another thing to note, we didn't know if that match with Asuka was going to be a one-off or if she was going to re-sign. So yeah, when she finally debuted on SmackDown, it had been anticipated. I was like, I was like, this, like, she's actually on SmackDown again.
I know, like, oh, I don't know who I thought was going to be, because it was with Bliss at first. And then when she took that mask off, oh my God, chills again.
Now, what were your hopes for her? Because I have some thoughts about this, but I want your initial thoughts. What were your hopes for her when she initially came back? Did you want her to come back and regain, like, the women's championship? Or did you want her, were you just more excited to see her, like, reinserting herself, but with a newer talent today, or a combination of both?
Well, to be honest, I kind of, when the whole Luchadora thing came about, I kind of thought it was going to be her.
Yeah.
And I kind of understood it, you know, like, yeah, new talent and old talent. But, like, realistically, I would have so much, like, preferred to see her and a kind of more top spot with, like, the women's title, 100%. Like, would love to have seen that. Much more. You know, like, I wish that she was given more time to on the, like, the women's title, and she had that top spot. I can't understand why they'd done it, but, like, I would personally have preferred to see her, you know, like, go for the women's champion and kind of be like her singles wrestler, and just kind of go for it that way. It would have made more sense, and I would have loved to have seen it. It's what I would have wanted for her, but, you know,
here's my thing too. I completely agree with you. You know, we saw, like, 2 or 3 women's championship matches, but obviously nothing came from that. They booked her to lose all of them. So she came back as the second most decorated women's champion at the time, back in 2016, 2017. She had 6 championship wins. Trish Stratus had 7. So there was always that looming number 7 around her, where she was always second to Trish.
Yeah.
And now, it has always been my belief that Mickey should have been the one to tie Trish, if not beat her. Now, granted, yeah, I love Charlotte Flair immensely. However, my qualm is that I really believe that Mickey should have been the one to tie Trish at first. Yeah, if they wanted Charlotte to break Trish's record, sure, great. But you have Mickey coming back with so much storyline, and number 7 has been a huge number looming from her. I feel like she should have been the one to tie Trish's record first, because I feel like it would have been such long-term and, like, full circle moments. You know, she beat Trish Stratus at WrestleMania in 2006 and won her first women's title. And then she came back in 2016, 10 years later, and she's still at 6 championships, 1 behind her rival. It felt like it would have been great storytelling to have Mickey come back and tie the woman that she beat for her first women's championship. I truly believe that she should have been the one to, if not beat Trish, but to tie Trish first. And again, yeah, I love Charlotte Flair, but that's something that's always peeved me a bit. I don't know how she hasn't won at least one. Again, like you said, she's never really been in the main title picture. And if so, it's been for, like, a month. It's always start, stop, start, stop. We'll see her for maybe a month or two feuding, like we saw her feuding with Bliss, which I thought was a great storyline.
Yeah.
But shortly after they lost, they, like, kind of parted ways, but then they came back together in early 2018 for like Elimination Chamber and they mm-hmm. were partners again. I'm like, they just had this great storyline where like Mickey and Alexa turned on each other and then like 4 months later they're tag team partners again. And I'm like, yay. What are they doing? It's they have her like, it's just one-offs to me, like the championship matches. But what are your thoughts?
No, like completely. Like, I'm such a big Trish and Mickey fan.
Yeah.
So when Charlotte surpassed Trish, I was like, I love Charlotte, but I was gutted. Like,
yeah.
I was just so gutted because I just loved Trish to bits. And then, yeah, like you said, it was 7-time women's champion was always the main thing for Trish. And then literally Mickey James was at 6.
Yeah.
So it would have been... Oh, it would have been so, so good if Mickey came back and won, you know, one more title to tie with Trish. It would have been just like one of those moments that's like full circle. It would just have been like so good to see the story. Telling would be so great and it would have made so much sense and it would be like the perfect little, even just one more title to tie would have just been so, so amazing. But again, I love Charlotte, but I would have, I would have loved to have seen that as well.
I get that. And like, now it's kind of odd because now like Charlotte and Mickey is like my dream match now. So obviously when Mickey came back, she was with a whole new crop of talent, excluding like Tamina, Natalya, and like the Bella twins. So everybody else she had never even stepped foot in the ring with or even like been seen with, you know, they were a whole new generation, new crop of talent. And so when she came back, was there anybody you were hoping that she would square off with in the ring with that was like a dream matchup for her? Obviously, we saw her with Asuka and then Bliss and then Becky. But was there a dream match you were looking forward to seeing her now in this newer crop of talent? Or maybe it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, so I really was looking, when she started with Bliss, I wanted to see them wrestle. Because I think I loved them both. So when they had that feud, I loved it. I thought it was so, so good. Also do really want to see Mickey wrestle Charlotte. Mm-hmm. I would like, would be so amazing because obviously like it was completely different generations mm-hmm. when she came back. There was so much like new talent that had literally just came up and they were just killing it. And then you have like this veteran who's got all these like years, she's won all these titles. Oh, it was just like such a good thing to see. Like I really, really enjoyed her and Becky. I really enjoyed her and Bliss because I really wanted to see those. I didn't know if we would see, you know, the Bliss one because obviously they came in like as a team.
Yeah.
But that was so good to see when they turned on each other. I love that story because I really wanted to see them wrestle. Because like Bliss was like one of my favorites at that period of time, and then obviously Mickey was my favorite when like years ago. Mm-hmm. So that was really, really good, and I'd love to see like Mickey in like a title match with Charlotte, like really main big match would be so good.
Before we get to Mickey and Charlotte, because I love them. I'm all about that moment. My dream match. So you talk about like your favorite. My favorite at that time was Paige. And then obviously Mickey was my favorite from the generation before. So when, and this kills me every time. So when Paige returned for Absolution in 2017, like Mickey had been back and then they were obviously on Raw. Paige was on Raw. And then we saw Absolution against like a combination of Bailey, Sasha, Mickey, like week by week. I'm like, I'm finally going to get my dream match between Mickey and Paige. You know, they had been in the ring a few times with like tag teams, but it was only for like maybe a minute or so they would lock up because people would tag out. And mm-hmm. then you get to Tribute to the Troops, where it was a 6-man tag match where it was Mickey, Sasha, Bailey against Absolution, which is Paige, Sonya Deville, and Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the match, Paige tags in, Mickey tags in. I finally get that lockup moment. I'm like, this is insight into my, like, you don't understand. This was my like peak dream matchup. I'm like, I'm getting a little teaser. I'm like, it's only a matter of time before this match actually happens one-on-one because you would see, you know, you would see combinations of one-on-ones or tag team matches between them at the time.
Yeah.
And then obviously Paige pinned Mickey. and this was December. And then at the end of December, Paige obviously got injured, and I was so gutted. And then Paige announced that she was going to retire. And I'm like, I got a teaser for my dream match, and it's now never going to happen. I was gutted, so immensely gutted. I mean, I'm grateful that they even got to lock up, but again, that was only for like maybe a minute. And then Mickey took the rampage and then got pinned. It was never like something really, really big. But then go on.
No, yeah, like I never even thought, like I loved Paige at that time as well. So that would have been
so gutted.
So iconic. That's really, really sad.
But I do agree though. So obviously after Paige retired, I'm like, who else would I like to see Mickey score off with? And you know, she's been at this point, she's been back on the roster for like 2 years now. And I'm like, she has never stepped foot into the ring with Charlotte Flair. They were 2019, they had been on separate brands for like the first 2 to 3 years of Mickey being back. But then finally 2019, they both get drafted to SmackDown. I remember this.
Yeah.
But so obviously Charlotte was right on SmackDown. She was on TV. Mickey was just sitting backstage for 2 months, and then she got injured, and then she was out for like over a year. And I'm like, this is never going to happen again, is it? I always pick matchups that are like never going to happen for some reason. Maybe that's why they're a dream matchup.
But yeah.
Just imagine though, the woman who beat Trish's record now is Charlotte Flair against something, then that's something Mickey was never able to do. I feel like they always have Trish as the link, and whether or not they decide to capitalize on that, there's still some storyline, and they're two of the most decorated women's champions of all time. I think they're both so incredibly athletic, so much enthralling characters, and we finally got a teaser at the Royal Rumble. Yeah. And I was living for it, but they never capitalized on it. So I'm patiently waiting for Mickey versus Charlotte officially.
That would honestly be so good. It just makes sense because Charlotte is like the main woman right now and has been for like so long. But when Mickey like first started, he was the main one. Her and Trish were, and it just makes sense. Oh, would you? Please. WWE, please.
It's right there. Even if it's a one-off, like, I mean, I will lower my standards, even if there's no storyline to it. Just, like, you know, because officially Mickey hasn't been drafted anywhere. So, like, they could easily draft her to Raw where Charlotte is. Like, I don't even care if it's a one-off. Just, like, make it happen, because maybe not a lot of people, like, noticed that moment, but, like, to see that matchup that we have never, ever seen in the ring before, because they've been on separate brands, or when they were, Mickey was not on TV.
Yeah.
And she got injured. Like, that was something so special. Like, two of the top women from, like, different generations that you don't get to see often, you know?
Yeah. Oh man,
I want it so badly, Ashley.
It's so sad, actually. Oh yeah, because 100% that would be like the person I'd want to see Mickey wrestle, like a million times. That's the one I would always say. That's, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm worried because the Paige one didn't happen that this won't happen.
Don't say that. Listen,
I know, I'm trying.
I can't be let down twice in a row. I can't. when it's like right in front of your face, you know, I feel like it would have, if Paige hadn't gotten injured terribly, I feel like it would have happened at some point, because they were constantly feuding for months on months, like those six women. So I feel like it would have happened like within a few weeks.
Yeah, 100%. Oh man, getting quite emotional.
I know. I was like, but yeah, moving on to the present day, obviously we said like the Royal Rumble, and another big topic of lately is obviously the top 50 greatest women's list, where Mickey was ranked at number 12 based on in-ring accomplishments, championship victories, and iconic moments. Now, before we get to my thoughts on this, what are your thoughts about Mickey being ranked as number 12?
Should have been top 10.
That's what I'm saying.
That's just facts. That's not even my opinion. It's just facts. Like, top 10, she deserved that. Like, she should have been in the top 10, 100%. If not top 5, like, period.
Yeah, like just trying not to be biased. I think, again, yeah, she should have been top 10 because they say, again, championship victories are a big thing on this list. You know, she, I believe, is like third all time still, or, you know, she's still very well as one of the most decorated women's champions at all time. For a while, it was her and Trish at the top of the most decorated women's champions list at six and seven, you know, championship wins. So that's something to be said. She's had plenty of iconic moments. Again, at the time, she probably had the longest consecutive storytelling at 6 months with that thing with Trish. She, again, she was number one on the PWI Top 50 Women in 2009. She's been in the top five like three or four times, like 2008, 2009, like a few of those other years too. You know, she came back too. She was in the first ever Elimination Chamber. She's been in the Royal Rumble. She's had so many iconic moments, even with Asuka. That was amazing. I'm like, how is she not top 10 at least?
At least. I know. At least. Like, that was frustrating. I was mad at that. But, like, she's my top, like,
boy.
Three. Yeah. But, like, I was just, like, I was just rude. Like, I just, like, it doesn't make sense to me. What were, like, I'm really about to go up to WWE office and just like chap on the door, not even chap on the door, but I'm walking in there and I'm gonna start some serious like abuse.
Again, there might have been some like hidden agendas or backstage stuff going into that list. I think there definitely was, considering who number nine was on that list, but that's another conversation for another day. I think I don't know how she wasn't at least top 10, and I told her that. I'm like, girl,
how are you so calm?
Oh my god, I don't get it. Again, there was probably like a bunch of agendas, and we don't really know who made that list, but again, that's a different conversation for another day. Regardless, she's number one in my book, top three in yours, but like objectively, I think she should be at least top 10. Honestly.
Yeah, at least top 10, if not top 5. So yeah.
I think objectively she's around number 5, number 6 on my list. Again, in my heart, she's number 1, but objectively as I could be like 5 or 6 I could see her being. Again, now we are to the present day where she doesn't have much going on in the ring, but like we said, she has this thing going on with Chelsea Green on Twitter. So do you think that that's something that they should capitalize on for television? I mean, we saw Chelsea Green debut on SmackDown, but then she got injured, but now apparently she's close to being cleared, if not being clear. So that's something they could definitely work with. Do you think that they'll actually put that into fruition on TV?
Like, I'd love to see it. I don't know if they would, but, like, you know, you never really know with these things. I think it would make so much sense, though, because on social media, so many people see it and so many people love it. So it would make so much sense to capitalize on it and actually do something with it instead of it just being a social media thing. It would be so good to see that happened because they are both so good, and obviously like Chelsea character wise really amazing, like her work in TNA work was so good. So I think like she could really like pay homage to old Mickey James, like 2006, and really like play that psycho like obsessed fan girl of Mickey, and you can see it on Twitter with the crazy things that she like posts. But it would be so entertaining to like see that kind of storyline again. Obviously they would do it a wee bit different like nowadays, but like it would still be so entertaining to see at least some like paying homage to like Trish and Mickey's like iconic storyline years ago. It would be so good to see that with like the roles reversed.
Yeah, they definitely took the creative power into their own hands and started it themselves. And whether or not that gets picked up for TV, I mean, they started something and they're definitely taking advantage and capitalizing. And I think it's gaining a lot of traction. Again, like you said, there are a lot of funny memes on that with people photoshopping stuff. And I think Chelsea is just fully embodying this, as well as Mickey too. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited. Hopefully this takes off, besides on Twitter. Twitter and Instagram and all that. Hopefully we see it on a bigger platform. Maybe even if it's not on TV, maybe if like either of them do media, maybe it'll come up in conversation somehow and then more people can hear about it. And then maybe we get it on a bigger platform, whether it's TV or even like a well, I guess it's Peacock now, but like a WWE Network thing. Maybe. I hope so.
Yeah. That's so good. I remember this is so weird, but one of the first games I bought of wrestling was SmackDown vs Raw 2010, and it was the first time that there was a women's like WrestleMania mode, and I was like, oh my gosh, it's Mickie James, and in the story mode for that, it was her and Natalya, and it was Natalya was obsessed with Mickie, so that was like the storyline for like the 2010 game. WrestleMania modes, like it was so silly, but it was so good. Like the whole roles reverse thing, even though it was a video game, like I was pure involved in the storyline. I've played it so many times, so to actually see something similar with like her and Chelsea on TV would just be so, so entertaining. Like I would love to see something like that. If it's not Chelsea, it'll be me. Like
okay. I would love to the thing is that you would use real life experience to where it would translate over, so that'd be great.
Yeah, like I'd probably like not even, it would not even be any acting for
no
me.
Acting.
It would be all serious business. It would be completely raw me. Completely.
That's so funny too that you bring up like video games. So the first one I think I told her this was SmackDown versus Raw 2011, so it was like the last video game she was in for WWE before she came back. So I would always play as like her and like Randy Orton and like Edge, like those were my guys, and like John Morrison too. And sometimes if I was really wanting to beat someone up, I'd be John Cena, who had like the highest, you know, thing
overall.
But she was always my go-to besides Kelly for that video game, and I was like, can't play as anybody else. It was a great time.
Yeah, that's all. Oh, it's so good. I remember my older brother gave me his PlayStation 2 when I was like really young, when I started watching. And one of the first games I played was SmackDown vs Raw 2006. And it was, I would always just go Trish and Mickie at the WrestleMania venue and just play it like myself all the time. Honestly, just obsessed.
I'm still sad that I didn't find wrestling earlier, although I'm grateful that I found the people that I did, but I feel like I always missed so much, and it's not the same watching it back as it is live. But then again, I would have been really young, like 2006, I would have been what, 9? So like, I didn't really understand that like kayfabe was a thing. I always thought it was like real for like the first year or two when I was watching. It wasn't really until I was like 13, 14 where I really like understood and grasped the concept of sports entertainment, you know?
Yeah, completely. I mean, I was the same up until I started actually training, and I was like, oh, like this is really what it's like. That's fun. Because I was only like 15 when I started. Again, like I said, I was just like, okay, I want to do this move, and it was just like all of Mickie James's, like on YouTube, top 25 moves of Mickie James. And I'm like, yeah, this is what I want to do. This is literally all I want to do. Just teach me this and I'll be fine. Like, that's not how it works, but.
Now, to wrap things up, what is your favorite within the whole history of Mickie James, her career, whether it's in wrestling or outside? What is your favorite Mickie James moment, match, feud? It can be whatever. What is your favorite thing with Mickie James in her history?
Well, I think the match that I always go and watch back, I don't know if it would be my favourite, but it's always one that I go and watch back, is her versus Trish at WrestleMania 22. Mm-hmm. It's just personally like the match that I just fell in love with wrestling with. So whenever I watch it, I get like so inspired, and I'm like, I just want to be as successful as them, and it just makes me happy. So that's definitely like the match that I would say is like my all-time go-to and all-time favorite, and what made me fall in love with wrestling. So that's like one of my favorites, and I'm this is crazy, right? But I'm actually considering getting a tattoo.
Oh my god,
I know, right? I'm actually insane, but like I'm wanting to get like the like a really small one of like a ring and the date of the WrestleMania 22 match, because it's just like it's the match I always like go back and I'm like, oh, I love wrestling all over again. And that's what made me want to be a wrestler.
That. If you get it done, you definitely need to send her a picture. She would love that, knowing her.
I might just do that, like, because it's all, I've always wanted a wrestling tattoo, but I don't want to be like really cringe or really noticeable. Like, I mean, I'd probably get her whole face, but not going to do that because I'm not silly. Yeah. But like, I just always wanted a really small wrestling tattoo that meant a lot to me. And that match is always one that made me, I remember watching it and being like, oh, I want to be a wrestler when I grow up. So it's like the main reason I'm here. So I'd always say that's like my favorite Mickey moment. Mm-hmm. So that's mine. What about yours?
See, mine, I feel like, is an outside thing. It just, you talk about like her, like being the reason that you're still here, like alive, like on this earth, like that's like something I've told her a countless number of times. And for me, it was, it's not really the in-ring stuff. I feel like, yeah, I did connect with her because like I resonated with that storyline. So for me, it's always been more of like a real life connection with her. And like, I remember this so vividly. I mentioned it a bit earlier that she did an interview a few years ago. It was with Vince Russo. It was like May 2015 or something, like April, May 2015, where she had first, like, I believe at the time, it was the first time she'd ever publicly spoken about her story, like growing up with abuse and then depression and then going through like all of that, overcoming it. Like, I highly suggest listening to it if you are a Mickey fan, because I feel like that was such a turning point for her, because it, at least from what she said, that was the first time she'd ever been so public about it. And so that was the moment where my fandom was just so solidified, and I felt like, I'm like, wow, like this woman is so incredible, like in the ring, obviously, but hearing her story and me like resonating with like the depression and a lot of like body image and like body insecurity. And again, I've never gone through something as traumatic as that. So I don't know how she had the strength to overcome that. Yeah, to deal with it, overcome that, and now share her story, have the courage to do that. And I find it ironic that like a few weeks ago in an interview, she said, what is like somebody's most common misconception about you? And she said that she is brave. And she thinks that that's a misconception about her because she doesn't consider herself brave. But to share a story like that takes guts. That is like, that is so courageous, so brave of her to share that when she didn't have to. And now she's turned that into something so positive with Child Help and doing a lot of philanthropy and like just wanting to be an inspiration to people, even if she doesn't think she is, she is. So for me, I've connected with her more on a personal level because, like I said, I've never seen her wrestle in the ring live. I've only seen it on TV. And yes, I love it. But she's my hero for more than just wrestling. So yes. I think that I think that's my like biggest takeaway. And like that really solidified like my love for her even more, like extending outside of the ring. So, but again, everybody has different reasons, different conceptions, different perspectives of why they're drawn to somebody. But just for me personally, it was more than just her in-ring work, which is fantastic, but it's more than that.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think she's just overall like just the like perfect role model and perfect person to look up to in all aspects. Because you get those people that you look up to for certain things like their talent and their ring work, but you know, she literally covers all bases, like ring work, talent, work ethic, her whole story in general, and who she is as a person, how she's made all these negative things into a positive. It's just such a good person to look up to in general.
Yeah, and I feel like not a lot of people get to say, well, people say that you should never meet your heroes. Well, like I said a few weeks ago, I beg to differ because, and I really hope that you get the chance to, Ashley, because like I said, she's incredible. But I feel like I've been so fortunate to have like nothing but amazing experiences with her and now getting to work with her. Not a lot of people get to say that. And so I felt like I found wrestling at the perfect time, even though it wasn't a storyline with women's wrestling that I'm necessarily proud to watch, but I felt like it was meant to happen at the time it was, because that was, she was literally the first woman I ever saw in wrestling. And to have that happen so organically, I'm like forever thankful for it.
Yeah, completely agree. This is so silly as well. I have a Mickey James figure, which was one of the first things ever wrestling figures I bought.
Yeah.
And like from like 2009, and it's still on my shelf in my room beside Trish Stratus. Like, it's a pure child, but it's like I just was so obsessed and happy when I got it. It was like my first wrestling figure, and it was her, and it was just the complete circle moment of how much I love her in general.
I still have I don't have a lot of my old wrestling posters because I collected wrestling magazines for like 3 years for WWE Magazine, and I still have her poster from 2010 from the first ever magazine I bought from WWE. So I'm like, again, so full circle moment. I still have it. Like, I mean, it's a little bit ripped up, but for like 11 years of wear, it's still in pretty good shape. I still have it. And I have her poster hanging up in my room right now, like the one that she signed. Like, that is so cute. It's just, you know, but yeah, this has been a wrestling. No, I'm kidding. Ashley, it's been so much fun, like just engaging in it, like conversation about somebody that we both love. And I really hope that one day Mickey gets the acknowledgement, the true acknowledgement and recognition that she deserves, obviously in the Hall of Fame. I think she should still be top 10 in the top 50 list, but I think for sure she is a true Hall of Famer. If she is not, we will riot.
Oh my gosh. I am rioting. I'm starting like riots every day, but like she will be. I know she'll do it, and I'll cry when it happens.
I know. Me too. I always imagine that day, and I'm like, when is it going to happen? It'll definitely happen, but we're gonna be emotional wrecks that day. But again, Ashley, thank you so much for joining me today on the second ever edition of A Wrestling Gal Focus. Can you tell the people where they can find you on all your social medias?
Yes, so all my social medias are at Ashley Vega UK, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
And thank you so much for joining me today, Ashley, for this special edition. I really couldn't have done it without you. It's been a lot of fun.
Thank you. I love you very much as I love Mickey.
Oh my God. I'm honored. That's a big thing. You guys don't understand. That's a big thing. I'm honored. I love you so much too, Ashley. I feel like we have just even solidified our friendship even more.
Exactly. Like, I'm coming to America soon, and we're going to meet up and talk about this in real life.
Oh my God. We're going to be unstoppable. Just know that when that happens, we're going to be unstoppable. We're going to be popping up all over your Twitters and your Instagrams. You're not going to know what hit you.
Fan Mickey Club is about to happen.
MJ, thank you so much for joining me today again, Ashley.
Thank you so much for having me.